You know, this story as we're looking at this morning is one that I pray will greatly stir you, move you, motivate you to go into 2018 with a resolve and a determination to live for Christ in such a way that you want to die empty for His glory.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Hey, this is John Couch of This Day Ministries. Thanks so much for tuning in to This Day in the Word. When you think of what it means to be wise or what it means to have wisdom, what comes to your mind? The Bible speaks at great length about being wise and obtaining wisdom. The book of Proverbs is saturated with wisdom that is anchored in the fear of the Lord. And yet Paul shows us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 through 29, that what God thinks is wise is not always what we think is wise. Listen to what Paul writes. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. Here's why. Look at verse 29. That no flesh should glory in His presence. See, God will give His glory to none other. And so I pray today that our aim in life will be to give Him all of the glory and all of the praise in everything that we do. And so let's take our Bibles together right now. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 2, looking at verses 1 through 12, and let's see what God's Word has to say as we listen to the first part of the message entitled, Wise Men Worship.
Lord, we thank You for this time that we could worship through the Word. God, I pray that the Word would just wash over us this morning. Father, I pray that if there's one here today that's discouraged, I pray they'll be greatly encouraged. God, I ask if there's one here today that is not living for You, I pray they will be challenged and motivated to turn their life over to You. And God, as we enter a new year, that there seems so many things that might be uncertain, but we know that there is nothing uncertain with the certain God. And so there's great confidence as we go into a new year. We pray that as You would stir in our hearts today, I ask, Father, that You would move me out of the way. We came here to hear one person, and that's You. And so I ask right now, would You help me to decrease while You increase? I pray that You'd hide me behind the shadows of the cross. And God, we'll be quick to give You all of the praise and all of the glory. And we pray this in the mighty and the matchless name of King Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Take your Bible. Let's go to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2 there in your hard copy Bible and or your device with your Bible on it. But turn there if you would. We want to get deep into God's Word. If you have a notepad, something to take notes with, you're going to want that as well to jot a few notes down as the Holy Spirit gives you a word today. I pray that we will be deep in God's Word. How many of you today, by a show of hands, believe God's Word? Raise your hand if you believe God's Word. I believe God's Word. I believe it not just because it says to be truth, because we know it is truth, but I believe it as well because it's radically changed my heart. That there's something about God's Word that when it gets a hold of you and it grips you, that you will no longer be the same. Amen? Amen? And we need bold men and women and students that are warriors for the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And so I pray today that we will see something afresh and new through this story of what we call the wise men, not the wise guys. Some of you are wise guys, but we're talking about wise men. Amen? And we want to see what God says in His Word. Matthew chapter 2, I'm going to read this together here, and then we will spend the next 3 hours dialoguing about it. I'm just kidding. Not 3 hours, maybe two or two and a half. But all right, Matthew chapter 2 says this in your Bible. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Verse 2, saying, this is very key here, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. Verse 4, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Verse 5, so they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler, capital R, who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him. Make a note of that. Verse 9, when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them. It led them till it came and stood over where the young child, capital C, was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Now, verse 11, don't miss this one either. Another key verse for today. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and they worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Lastly, verse 12, then being divinely warned in a dream they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. What a great text that is, that I pray will stir in your hearts today. We just came out of the Christmas season and thinking about what Christmas is. And, you know, so many people in the Christmas season have tried to take Christ out of Christmas. We fight hard to keep Christ in Christmas. Amen. Because if you remove Christ from Christmas, you don't have anything. But with Christ in Christmas, you have everything. And we think so often about Christmas, and we think about what it means, and that's a good thing. And we want to meditate on Christ coming. And as Christ came, he came to this earth, and I call it P to the third power. I say it's the power of the manger. Power of the manger, that Christ came, and he came that he was born to die, that he was on mission, that he was dialed in, that he knew that he had a purpose and a plan and a hope and a future to do great and mighty things for those that would place their faith and trust in him. P to the second power, however, is what I call the power of the cross. That mission that he was born to die, that as he came and he gave his life, that those, again, that would say, yes, Jesus, that I need your blood, your righteousness over my life, that through that cross there's great power. But if he just comes in a manger, even though that's great and that's wonderful, it's not enough. If he goes from the manger to the cross and he dies and he goes into a grave, but he never comes out, it's not enough. He's just like every other prophet out there that had claimed to be a Messiah, yet they are dead to this day. P3, the power of the manger, the power of the cross, and yet finally the power of the empty tomb is where it all culminates. That when he ran out of that grave, that as the song says, that my death was arrested and my life began. But we think about Christmas, and we think about how counterculture this whole story is. You think about God's plan of redemption. That Jesus, when he came, that he would die, that you might have life. That, again, he gave his life, and he did the one thing that you could never do. He did the very one thing that you could never do. And that's to free you from you. that literally as he went to that cross, as he was beaten, as he was scourged, as he was whipped, that as the stench of death filled the air, as darkness filled the sky on that cross, that as the centurion who saw all these miracles unfolding and he exclaimed, truly this was the Son of God. That they hung him on that tree and they hung him really high and they stretched his arms wide. It all started, though, in a feeding trough in a little town called Bethlehem. You know, this story as we're looking at this morning is one that I pray will greatly stir you, move you, motivate you to go into 2018 with a resolve and a determination to live for Christ in such a way that you want to die empty for His glory. I mean, think about that for a moment. Isn't that and shouldn't that be the cry of every true believer in Jesus Christ, that as He comes into our lives, that again, He frees us from the enemy of self, He unshackles, He unchains, He goes down to the deepest pit that you may be in today. And by the way, no matter what you've done today, His grace is deeper still. Like, there is nothing that can outrun the grace of Jesus. There's nothing you can do. And as He went to that cross and it started in the manger, we see this story that so many times gets often overlooked because we have this great build-up to Christmas and yet we forget, well, what happened after? We celebrate His coming and then we'll throw a few stories in on the in-between, get to Easter, say, oh, that was too bad, and we go on with our lives many times. We got to remember the whole culmination of this is that it's set up to come to this earth, to die on a cross, and to triumphantly bolt out of that grave. I don't believe for a moment that Jesus Christ, when He came out of that grave, I don't believe He stumbled. I believe on that third day when He arose that the triumphant, rising King of Kings and Lord of Lords stood tall in all His glory. But it all started in a feeding trough. See, the story was announced to not the seminary professors or the megachurch pastors of the day. The story was announced to the lowly shepherds. The outcasts of society. Now, isn't that just like God? That's just like God to turn the tables on how we might do things, how we look through things in our finite lens, and God goes, my ways are higher than yours. And I'm going to take the low and exalt high. I'm going to take what seems what's base to you and show off my glory and my praise. And so the manger happens, the feeding trough, the bread of life, the word. There was no room in the inn. He was rejected at the beginning of his life as there was no room at the inn. And he was despised and rejected throughout his life. And it culminated on a cruel Roman cross where he was executed and marred beyond recognition through further despising and rejection. But it all started in a feeding trough. It was announced to the shepherds, and the shepherds heard the story. They, of course, embraced it. And yet, as this Christ child began to grow over those days and months, there became a new group that came on the scene that God divinely sent to help unravel in a good way and unfold this story. And these are the wise men we're speaking of today. It says there in verse 1 that they came to Bethlehem. If you think about Bethlehem on your map, you probably have a map in your old school Bible, or maybe you got a map on your wall at home of that era, and you think about Bethlehem, it's about 6 miles in the southern part of Jerusalem. And again, God takes what we think is the logical way to do the plan, and God goes, that's not my plan. Because you would have thought in our finite minds, hey, king is coming, and since he's Jesus, we're going to roll off the red carpet. He's coming into Jerusalem. You know, we got chariots that are, you know, like Mercedes-Benz ornaments on there and 20-inch rims, and he comes bolting into town, right? No, he, again, is placed in a feeding trough as the bread of life. And what's so interesting about that is when you look towards the end of his life, on that Palm Sunday, we call it, on that triumphal entry, again, here comes a king riding on a donkey. And yet what we got to understand is that God always begins with the end in mind. And the end in mind is not what happened on that day, but we think about when he's going to return again on that day. Amen. And when he returns again on that day, man, he's going to be on a white horse. Man, the donkey's going to be saddled in the stable, right? Man, we're done with the donkey. Thanks, appreciate you. We got all the use out of you we needed. Bring the white stallion. Man, it's going to be emblazoned on him, faithful and true, and he's going to rule with a rod of iron. I don't know about you, but I'm definitely going to be on his team. But it all started in a feeding trough.
You're listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of Pastor Couch's messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. In addition, you can share your prayer requests with us via email. Our email address for prayer requests is prayer@thisdayministries.org. That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. And now, back to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch.
The Magi are hearing what's going on, and of course, they're divinely inspired through the Holy Spirit to go. And you think of the Magi there, the wise men, the wise guys, and here they are. And most likely, they were from the area of Persia. You can think of modern Iran, if you will. We're talking hundreds upon hundreds of miles away that they traveled to come and see this child. You think of the context, because you always think that context is always king when we study Scripture. And we just don't want to, like, you know, leaf through Scripture, rifle through it and go, hey, I like that verse. That sounds good for my situation. And take it out of context because we get in trouble. And so we remember the context, how all this unfolded. Why did this unfold? What was God's method to his madness? What was the purpose? What was the plan? And you see here that he uses so many people in this plan, from the shepherds to Mary to Joseph. I mean, you think about Mary, you know, you just pause on that one for a moment. Here's Mary, and like she's just, you know, sitting there. She's, I don't know, like doing needlepoint or something, whatever they did back then. And there she is, you know, just minding her own business. And Gabe comes on the scene, the angel. And it's like, hey, got some news for you. You're with child. You know, she's like, come again? Like, I think you got the wrong gal. No, it's you. You're divinely chosen for this task. God has divinely selected you. And you got to remember what she did, that she went and she migrated from a response of how can it be, of doubt, and how can this happen, to a great testimony and a great example to your life and my life, that when God calls us to do great things for his glory, the natural response is to say, how can it be? But we don't stay there. We go from how can it be to her next response, which is simply, let it be. That'd be a great title to a song, wouldn't it? Let it be. But you think about that, right? How God doesn't work like we always think he's going to work. Don't give up on God, because this all started in a feeding trough. As this began to progress, and we see these wise men come on this scene, and here they are, and they come into Bethlehem. Look at verse 2 in your Bible for just a moment there. Look at verse 2, what it says. Don't miss this, because in 2 and 11 is where we're focusing on this morning, these two key verses. We will unpack some of the others together here. But in 2 and 11 are our focus verses, and here's what verse 2 says. It says, saying, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Like, don't miss this. Like, if you're looking for practical theology and practical instruction in God's word, verse 2 is a mission critical verse. In the original language, that word saying in my Bible refers to this. It's a continual proclaiming and asking, where is he? Like, I want you to picture this for a moment. Here they are. Here's the Magi, and they come into town. And we don't definitively know there were three. They did give three gifts. So could there have been three? Possibly. There might have been many. We don't know. The Bible does not clearly say on this, but we know this. As they traveled from the east, they traveled a long distance. You know, this wasn't like they, you know, like Ubered in. You know, this wasn't one of those deals where it's kind of like, hey, you know, we're just like going to get on our Learjet and fly over. This was long, tedious traveling. I don't know about you. If I'm going to travel in a long, tedious manner, I really want to go where I'm going, right? I mean, unless you've lost a bet or something, you know what I'm saying? I mean, like, otherwise, why are you doing this? Why are you putting yourself through this heartache and this pain? No, they had a mission, just like you have a mission on your life, that God has called you. He called them to go and do this mission. And yet so many times that God, again, doesn't always work as we think he's going to work. That doesn't mean we give up on God. No, we continually hold our plans loosely and hold him tightly. Just hold your plans loosely and hold him tightly. And so as they come on the scene, here it is. You got this guy in charge who they called Herod the Great. But man, he was like Herod the Horrible. I mean, if you study what this guy did, this guy was a raging lunatic. When you're so paranoid and so insecure about anyone that comes close to your kingdom and your power, that you actually execute your own family, that's just utter deception. That's what this guy did. That's the context of what these wise men, these magi, are dealing with. That they come on the scene and Herod's in charge. And you look there again in verse 2 and it says, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star." Not someone else's star. We've seen his star. Now we're following his star. We're following him. We're going wherever he is. We're in search of him. Even in the midst of Herod the Horrible, we're going to follow God, even if it costs us our lives. Now what a great testimony for you and I today. And that we'll follow God regardless of the cost. That will drive a stake in the ground to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Regardless of what comes our way, we're going to stand tall for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because do you understand this? That the light of the gospel doesn't shine the brightest where it's the brightest. It shines the brightest where it's the darkest. And so now we need men and women who are like the Magi that are willing to not run away from the fire, but run back into the fire. We need men and women that won't run back into the bunker, that will get out of the bunker and get out on the battlefield of life and say, God, I'm here. You use me. Here am I. Send me. And so these Magi are on the scene. And it's so interesting as you look at that verse 2 that here they are and that they got two purposes in mind. They're asking, where is Jesus? And then they want to worship him. You know, great, great encouragement for you going into 2018 that, I guess let me ask the question, have you found Jesus? Maybe you're here today and you're still looking for him. That's a great thing. My prayer is that you would find him, but when you find him, you want to begin to worship him. Amen. See, the heart of worship is what this is all about. When we begin to unpack what worship really is this morning, I pray we'll see afresh and new what it really means to walk this Christian life. You think of these Magi and what they did and what they sold out to. They're willing to travel this long distance and come to this guy named Herod. It says Herod was troubled in my translation. That's like an understatement. Like, this guy went off the chain. He's like, I can't have this happen. You're telling me some king has been born? Which, by the way, king of the Jews, when you think of that concept, marinate on this for a moment, that back in that day, that culture, man, the Jews were so many times despised. But you think even from a further context of Jesus, and yet there he is, and at the beginning of his life, at the very beginning of his life, Jesus, here he is, and we can deduct from reasoning that he's got to be 2 years or under, because we know from later text here that Herod was so incensed and so furious that he goes about and kills every male child who's 2 years and younger. Now, again, you talk about demonic. But here Jesus is, and he's at this young age, and don't miss this, he's at this young age, and here he is having this profound impact on this culture, because here is a little boy, 2 years and younger, who before he really does anything per se, not excluding that he came to this earth, that's a huge deal, but he hasn't really begun what he's doing, and yet here's what happens. He already has people looking for him to find him and worship him, and he's also got people that are looking for him to kill him. That's the power of the Savior right there, isn't it? That's the power of the resurrected Jesus. This same power for you, the believer, that was in our Savior, that's in our Savior, that as he was led there to Golgotha, the place of the skull, and he died that horrific death, that same power that raised him from the dead is in you, the true believer of Jesus Christ. That's awesome, isn't it? I mean, amen to that, right? Like if you had one amen in you, that was the time to go bam. You know, just like turn her loose. I mean, that's just awesome. Like, life's hard, and life's disappointing, and life's frustrating, and like, there's so many days I want to quit. And yet the same power that raised him from the dead lives inside you and me, the true believer. Man, that gives us a whole new outlook on life. See, the Magi are looking, they're searching, they're hungry, they're desperate. They're just in an insatiable way saying, I gotta have this. Where is he? As they are saying continually, and you can picture them going all around Jerusalem, where is he? Where is he? Where is he? Where is he? Do you know where Jesus is? Where'd he go? Where is he? Where is he? Where is he? They're asking, where is the Christ child? And they were seeking him.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.